Proudly presented by Provident Payments, this is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Yesterday, December 7, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
And so it has for 82 years. Welcome back to this special edition of Hometown Heroes. More memories from Pearl Harbor survivors to come. But first, another excerpt from this year's commemoration ceremony on Oahu. Admiral John C. Aquilino is the commander of the United States Indo-Pacific Command.
Okay, we do this every year, but it is not a normal day. It's just not another day we come up and remember. What I want you to do today with me is, as you look out over the water, envision what it would have been like. There are numerous veterans here that got to watch it in person. For the rest of us, I want you to imagine it. 82 years ago on this day, Sunday morning, a day a lot like today with the trade winds partly cloudy, 71 degrees. And what was seen? The sight of enemy aircraft, fires on ships, buildings, people running frantically, people sweating, covered in blood. That was real that day. The sounds of propellers whizzing, gunfire bursts, bullets striking metal, pavement, people, alarms going off. That was real. The smell of a battle, black smoke, burning rubber, fuel, gunpowder. That was real. The emotional feelings that only you have witnessed and experienced, and we can only imagine, of shock, fear, terror, confusion, sorrow, anger, and despair. Those were real for you. Today's survivors and the team who supported that war effort experienced it. But we have to imagine it, and we have to never forget it. The greatest generation is with us here today. World War II veterans, Rosie the Riveter's team who supported the war effort, we are humbled by your presence and thankful for your service and sacrifice. The commitment of and courage of that team is what we all strive for today. I told you to imagine it. I ask you to talk to them later and hear it directly from them. Mr. Ed Carroll, 98 years old, came here from Utah to be here for this day. During the attack, he was a 16-year-old airplane mechanic on Ford Island. He watched the USS Arizona take a hit. He grabbed his rifle and stood the duty and defended this island and our nation. During the war, he became a Navy pilot to continue the fight, just from a different seat. Kenneth Stevens, 100 years old, came here from Oregon today. During the attack, he was on USS Whitney. It took strafing gunfire, and he immediately manned his battle station. Amid the fire and smoke on his ship, he helped his buddies swim through the black tar-like oil to safety. Ira Eichschaub, 103, also came from Oregon. He was 21 years old, a musician in the band aboard the USS Dobbin. When the attack came, he began saving and rescuing survivors and took those casualties ashore. Herbert Elfring, 101, came from Michigan, an Army private in the 251st Artillery Regiment. During the attack, he was over at Barber's Point. As enemy bullets strafed the camp, they missed him by just a number of feet. Harry Chandler, 102, came here from Florida today. Harry wanted to join the Navy so bad he enlisted before graduating high school. And during the attack, he was a corpsman at the Navy hospital. During the attack, he rushed to the hospital amongst all of the carnage and delivered medical care for all who needed it. Sterling Kale, 102, and a Hawaii local. He's the last survivor that lives here on Oahu. During the attack, he was 20 and a Navy pharmacist. He also just finished the Navy Frogman course on underwater demolition. He and his teammates rescued 46 sailors from the burning waters of Oklahoma and Arizona. And after the attack, he helped bring forward 100 of those sailors who had given their lives from the wreck of Arizona. He also served as a corpsman in the 1st Marine Division, and he deployed to Guadalcanal, where he there saved and triaged both Marines and Japanese sailors and prisoners. Lastly, he shifted to the Army, and he fought in the Korean War and the Vietnam War. Our other World War II veterans in attendance, Bob Lee, Art Shack, Archie Holte, Cash Barber, John Hamamoto, Alan Chatwin, Joe Maxfeld, Wendell Newman, and Rosie the Riveter team, Gene Gibson, Marion Wynn, Caroline Kilgore, Lucille McDonald, Clarice Lafrendiere, Dolores Leonard, Delphine Claput, Virginia Bassler. We honor your service to our nation, and we must never forget it. There were many things that today we look back on and try to remember and learn from Pearl Harbor. First, victory was not certain, not by any means. And while our nation was surprised, the courage of our military responders sitting here today makes us understood they were ready to fight with what they had. And I think if you'd talk to them, they'd send these messages to us. Number one, remember Pearl Harbor. Number two, keep America alert. Number three, constant vigilance is needed to defend our nation and our way of life. And lastly, we must be ready to fight and win. Today, for those of us in uniform who serve, and for those civilian warriors who support our incredible Department of Defense, we stand on the shoulders of these giants in front of us. Today, the joint force, made up of soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, Coast Guardsmen, Guardians, we operate every day alongside our allies and partners to defend democracy and to ensure a free and open Indo-Pacific. For those veterans and Rosie the Riveters who sit here today, our message to you is we are vigilant. We are ready. We will never forget. And today, we stand the watch. We're honored to be in your presence. Thank you very much.
Again, that was Admiral John C. Aquilino, leader of the U.S. Indo-Pacific Command. A few hours after that ceremony on the 82nd anniversary, some of the ashes of Jack Holder were spread at the site of the sunken USS Utah. Holder, who went on to become a decorated World War II pilot, was on Ford Island on December 7, 1941. He passed away shortly after attending last year's Pearl Harbor ceremony. One of the few Pearl Harbor survivors who's still with us 82 years later is Bill Pratt of Fresno, California, who's going to celebrate his 102nd birthday next week at a Pearl Harbor commemoration at the Clovis Veterans Memorial District on the 82nd anniversary. I had the privilege of sharing highlights of several Pearl Harbor survivors' experiences that they've shared with me over the years, and the audience there heard these recollections from Bill, who was aboard the only battleship to get underway in the harbor on that day of infamy, the USS Nevada.
At the beginning, I heard the planes. The dive bombers were diving on us. You could hear the engine laborers to come out of the dimes, but planes would practice in peacetime. They would dive on us and just for practice. And I didn't know whether it was that or it was a real thing, but it was a real thing. You could hear them, the planes dive, and when they come out of the dive, they dropped their bomb. Well, the engine would make a labor of noise that you could hear, and I could hear that down the engine room.
So when did it sink in for you that this was the real thing, that you were at war?
Well, I don't know. I went to my battle station. I began to feel the ship getting hit, and it would either shake or it would lift over to one side, or it would do something. When a bomb would hit, you knew it. It was Sunday morning. I didn't have anything to do. I was just laying around in the quarters. Of course, I began to hear bombs going off, but I didn't know there were bombs. And one of them hit our ship, and it shook it. And I started to go up on topside and see what was going on when general quarters sounded. So I had to go down the engine room. I had my battle station was back in the shaft alley. It was scary for me because I was down there by myself. Then the lights went out. We got generators got hit, and the power was off for a while. The lights went out everywhere on the ship, but I was back in that shaft alley by myself. It was dark, and it was scary because I didn't know what was going on. I knew the ship was listed to the port side. We had been hit on the port side. Torpedo planes had got to the port side, and that's what I was noticing. The ship was listed to the port side. We'd already heard that it was the Oklahoma that capsized. The USS Oklahoma was hit on the port side, and they capsized. The thing turned bottom side up. I thought the end had come, and you're sitting there in the darkness by yourself. I really thought it was over, and of course you do a lot of things that you even pray that you'll get out there. And well, I could do nothing but sit there and wait, because I was in the darkness. I couldn't see what it was doing anyhow. We didn't know. I didn't know where the water was leaking in the back compartment, but it wasn't. It was leaking into compartments beyond me. The compartment I was in didn't take on any water. But anyhow, we had to stay there. Finally, the lights come back on. They got the generators running. They got the lights back on. They assessed the damage, and they let me out of the shaft alley. They opened the door and called me out. I was glad to get out of there, too. It is just a helpless feeling that you realize you're in a situation you can't do anything about. This thing was coming upon you. And you expect to die. You don't think you're going to get out of it alive because it looks bad at first. That's the kind of situation I was in. It looked very bad at first, but as things developed, it began to look better. And we had assistance from other ships in the fleet and other departments that helped us. I don't know, you just quit worrying, I guess, and go along with the program.
Pearl Harbor survivor Bill Pratt from the USS Nevada, and I trust you'll join me in wishing him a very happy 102nd birthday next week. It's time for our final break, but when we come back, the keynote address from this year's ceremony at Pearl Harbor from a 29-year-old Marine Corps pilot with a pretty special connection to December 7th, 1941. Hometown Heroes will be right back after this.